We turn again tonight to Joshua chapter 24, and we'll read verse 14 down to verse 21. Joshua 24 and verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions, nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt, and consume you, after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. If you recall, last week we began to look at the family, and we saw that God is the founder of families. Well, tonight we come to consider, and we're only going to make a start this time round, looking at family worship. Maybe if the Lord wills, in the future we'll come back to this subject, for there's much here. But I'd like us just tonight to look at this subject of family worship. Well, let's just go back to verse 15 and those well-known words at the end of verse 15. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Dear congregation, every father, every head of the family, every pastor in this country and all over the world ought to echo those words of Joshua. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And how different things would be in this world if that was so. Now, in reasoning with the people to press home that they should faithfully serve the Lord, Joshua speaks a word of testimony. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He reasons, who are you going to serve? And if you think it will not be good for you, or a displeasing thing for you to serve the Lord, who are you going to serve? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will live for him. We will worship him each and every day. Now you see here, Joshua did not see it as an optional extra to serve the Lord. No. He was going to serve the Lord. It was his duty. And it was the duty of all in his family. But further, it was a desire and a love. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We love the Lord. And so we're going to serve him. And dear brethren, out of love to the Lord, do not we echo these words tonight. We will serve the Lord. We see it as our duty. But all it comes from our heart. We will serve the Lord. Now every family in this country should be serving the Lord. Let's just begin there tonight. Every family. In Psalm 98 and verse 4, we read these words. Psalm 98 and verse 4. Those familiar words, we often sing them. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. A joyful noise, there's to be a shout for the King. Everyone is to focus on Christ and worshipping him. All the earth are exhorted to do so. So therefore all families should be worshipping the Lord. And then turn to Psalm 148, verses 11 through to verse 13. Kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. You see who there is to worship the Lord? Kings of the earth, all people, princes, judges, young men, maidens, old men and children. Those who live in palaces, right down to those who live in tents, should all be found praising the name of the Lord. This is how it ought to be. And as we consider this subject of family worship, every family in the whole world and all down through history should be tonight, and those down through history should have been found praising the Lord. This is an important subject. A subject for every family in the world to consider. Yet sadly, so few families gather for family worship. And God is not pleased with this. God will act on those who turn from him, on those families who will not worship him. Jeremiah knew this all too well. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 10. I just want you to see this here. In verses 23 to verse 25, I just want you to see that God is not pleased with those families who are not worshipping him. Jeremiah 10, verse 23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in mine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Pour out thy fury upon the heathen that know thee not, and upon the families that call not on my name, for they have eaten up Jacob, and devoured him, and consumed him, and have made his habitation desolate. They're solemn words. Pour out thy fury upon the heathen that know not thee, and upon the families that call not on thy name. It's solemn, isn't it? And do you see as a nation why we are facing judgment? Because the majority of families are not each day calling upon the name of the Lord. We must pray for families. We must pray that so many yet would know the blessing of family worship. But as we think of this, do not we mourn over the situation? It helps us to understand where we are as a nation, does it not? And we're greatly concerned about the situation. Solemn words. The situation is getting worse in our country. Listen to Spurgeon, what he said all those years ago. I fear that the decline of family godliness, which is so sadly remarkable in these days, is the source of a great many of the crying sins of the age. What would Spurgeon say 100 years later today? Just note those words again, which is so sadly remarkable in these days. He's looking at the day in which he lived. He's the source of a great many of the crying sins of the age. Where have we got to? Oh, we must cry to the Lord that he would have mercy upon family after family. In compassion, we earnestly pray for those families where there is no family worship. And as the church in this country, we must seek again and again to reach men and women, boys and girls. Just read these words again, Jeremiah 10, verse 25. Pour out thy fury upon the heathen that know thee not, and upon the families that call not on thy name. It's a subject that concerns us, doesn't it? And it ought to concern every family in this country. And in this world, it's an important subject. Well, we mourn over the situation. However, let us thank God that there are still a number in this country who know the blessing. And along with us can say, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, it is our duty, but it is also a great blessing. And consider the blessings you have known in your lives. Oliver Hayward, Puritan, 1629 to 1702, he was ejected from his pulpit and excommunicated in 1662, wrote this: "Oh, what an honour it is, speaking of family worship, that the King of Heaven gives you an admittance into his present chamber with your families twice a day to confess your sins, to beg pardon and supplies of mercy, to give him the glory of his goodness, and to lay your load on him and get ease. I hope you will never be adverse to it or weary of it. God forbid you should. You are not weary of meal times, if you be healthy. Know and keep those appointed times of coming to God." What blessings we know. What a privilege to come to the King, to call upon him, to bring our petitions, to declare our needs, and to worship him. One can be tired and weary in a physical way after a busy day, but let us never be weary of this great blessing of family worship. Let it be our resolution that we will serve the Lord each and every day. These are precious words, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're not perfect. There's no perfect family. There's no perfect father, but it's our desire to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And dear brethren, what a blessing and what a prospect to further worship the Lord in our families day by day. Well, for the remainder of the time, I'd like us to consider two things tonight. Firstly, the scriptural foundation and warrant for family worship. And then secondly, the structure of family worship. The scriptural foundation and warrant for family worship. And secondly, the structure of family worship. Dear brethren, we worship the living and the true God. And as we consider him tonight, we did so in the call to worship. We consider that he is the God of prayer. He's there. He is God. He is to be worshipped. You recall the first commandment, Exodus 20, verse 3, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." No other gods. He alone is to be acknowledged as the true and living God. Just think of him. He is there tonight. He is here. He is God. Therefore, we ought to fear him and love him. Remember those words in Matthew 22? A certain lawyer came to our Lord with a question, tempting him, saying, verse 36 of Matthew 22, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And as we think of that great command there, and as it summarizes the first table of the law, are we not to love God with a sincere love in our hearts? He's to be feared. He's to be loved. He's to be worshipped. He's our maker. And therefore we, the creature, should worship him. We often read those words in Psalm 95 as we come to the call of worship. Verse 6, "O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker." He's made us, not we ourselves. He's our Maker. He's the potter. We're the clay. We are to worship him. All should worship him. All individuals and all families. If you think of the foundation for family worship, consider he is God. He is the maker. Therefore, all families should be worshipping him. But then consider a little further, as we considered last week, he is the founder of families. He is the founder of families. It is God that makes a family. Psalm 68, verse 6. God set up the solitary in families. Where there is increase, it's because of God. There are families here upon earth Because of God. You're in a family. Why? Because of God. And we acknowledge God in this. Matthew Henry wrote, he must be acknowledged in the building up of our families, where he is the founder of the family. Therefore, in light of that, he is to be worshipped. Families should be worshipping him because he's the founder of their family. The Puritan Thomas Doolittle, and I have got that right, the Puritan Thomas Doolittle, 1630 to 1707, wrote a paper, What God Is to the Families. And the first point was this, God is the founder of all families. Therefore, families should pray unto him. And then, near the conclusion, he wrote this, From what hath been said, I reason in this manner. If God be the founder, owner, governor, and benefactor of families, then families are jointly to worship God and pray unto him. He's the founder of the family. He's the owner. He is the governor, the benefactor. Just pause on that one. How you have been blessed by God as a family. Families, therefore, are to worship him and pray to him. But we have a biblical foundation. He's God. He's our maker. He is to be worshipped by all, including all in the family. He is the founder of the family. Families are to worship him. But having established the biblical foundation, let's now consider a few examples of those who worship the Lord in the Bible. The scriptural foundation and warrant for family worship. Let's just note a few things here as we see the warrant and also the examples of family worship. First of all, consider Job. Turn with me to Job 1. We're going to read verse 1 and 2 and then verses 3 to verse 5. There was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 sea asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, It may be that my sons have sinned, and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. And there we see Job, he was a godly man, and he had a concern and a care for his family. And he was found early in the morning offering up those sacrifices continually on behalf of his children. He was concerned. He was pleading for his children. And was simply told at the end of verse 5, Thus did Job continually. He had a daily concern. He was engaged in spiritual activity as the head of his family. Then consider secondly Abraham. Those familiar words in Genesis 18 verse 19. It was said of Abraham, For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. For I know him. Abraham was known as one who conducted family worship each day. For I know him that he will command his children and his household. Not only his children, but all that were in his household. He was faithful. And he was known for his faithfulness in this. He was known for instruction. He taught them. He guided the whole house. He had a concern particularly for their well-being, their spiritual well-being. Ephesians 6 verse 4, And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Abraham was noted He was commended as one who brought up his children and the household in the nurture or the training, the instructing and the disciplining. He was a faithful man. Robert Candish wrote, "Abraham is highly commended as one who will assuredly be faithful in this work of the godly training and godly discipline of his household. For I know him." Now just think about that. It's a humbling thing, isn't it? The Lord knows, but he knows my failings in it. But I am known. For I know him. But as you think of those words, and as we saw earlier, that every family should be worshipping the Lord, every father or head of family, or the father's not there, the mother, should be known for conducting family worship. Everyone should be known. For I know him. How many fathers, how many heads of families are known to the Lord in this country as conducting family worship? They all should be. But it's not the case. But there's Abraham. He's an example. We see the warrant there. He was one who conducted family worship. Thirdly, Joshua, these familiar words here before us, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." It was his testimony. His sincere testimony. He was going to live for the Lord along with his family. He was going to serve the Lord. And as we saw last week, in that Hebrew word, we can consider worship there. He was going to worship. It was his resolve. It was in his heart. It was his concern. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now think of Joshua. It wasn't long before he left this world. But he had a concern for his family in the future. And so should fathers. And we ought to be concerned for our families in the future when we are gone. We see there, Joshua, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Consider Joshua's faithful in his old age in family worship. And it shows that we're to be faithful. We're to be seeking to be faithful all the days of our lives. There's not to be a slacking, but rather a flourishing. Psalm 92 verse 14, "They shall still bring forth fruit in old age, and they shall be fat and flourishing." To be going forward. To be concerned about religion. To be concerned about godliness. To be concerned about family worship as the years pass. Joshua in his old age was concerned about family worship, and he was concerned about family worship after his death. And are we not concerned about family worship in our families after we are gone? So Joshua. But then one more in the New Testament. Fourthly, Timothy's mother. Timothy's mother. Now there are particular situations when the father will not lead, as was the case in Timothy's home. Think of another situation. A widow. She's lost her husband. It's her chief responsibility now to lead the home in family worship. Think of another situation. The busyness of the father cannot be there. And so a godly mother, in guiding the house, 1 Timothy 5 verse 14, will gather the family for family worship. Now we particularly think of the father, the head of the family, in leading family worship. But there are situations, as we see in the case of Timothy's mother, where the mother is to lead, to guide, 1 Timothy 5 verse 14. Timothy's mother was faithful in conducting family worship. In 2 Timothy 1 verse 5 we read, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in my grandmother Lois, and my mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." There Paul speaks of the faith of his grandmother and also his mother. And then in 2 Timothy 3 verse 15 we read this, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Timothy knew. His mother had spent much time in reading the scriptures. How do we know that? Well, in Acts 16, verse 1, Timothy's mother was a Jew and a believer, but not Timothy's father. Timothy's mother was faithful in conducting family worship. She taught diligently the scriptures to Timothy. In Proverbs 1, verse 7, we read, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." And Timothy was blessed because of his mother. Well, we have then the scriptural foundation and warrant for family worship. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You know, we need to encourage others in family worship. We need to encourage as many as we can in family worship. And oh, that more and more families would see it is right to do so. That more and more families in our country would know the blessing of family worship. Well, let's draw to a close now and we'll consider, secondly, the structure of family worship. The structure of family worship. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua is thinking of worshipping the Lord. He's thinking here, amongst other things, of family worship. That he's going to, with his family, worship the Lord. And as we think of family worship, there is a structure to it. And I like to divide it into four parts. One or two have less. The Puritans have more. But I'd like to divide it into four parts. Prayer, praise, the reading of the Word of God, and instruction. Prayer, praise, the reading of the Word of God, and instruction. First of all, prayer. And when we think of worship, public worship, it's an element of worship. Acts 2, verse 42. So when we come to family worship, it is very plain that it is prayer is part of it. Think of the husband and the wife. They are to be daily found praying in the home. 1 Peter 3, verse 7, "Likewise the husband dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honour unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Now you know that dwelling together, thinking of the home, thinking of the marriage, and there's prayers offered. In family worship, prayer is to be offered unto the Lord. In the home, there is to be this calling upon the Lord. Yes, as individuals, but also couples and families. Return again to Jeremiah 10, verse 25. "Pour out thy fury upon the heathen that know thee not, and upon the families that call not on thy name." They're solemn words, aren't they? A warning to families who do not worship the Lord, who do not pray. What's going to happen to so many families in this country? They turn not to the Lord. We see there God is angry with those who do not pray. Prayer is part of family worship. Prayer is to be offered unto him. What do we read in Psalm 65, verse 2 earlier tonight? "O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come," in the public place, but also in the home. Prayers are to be offered. The family is together. The one leading is praying, is speaking on behalf of the others. There's to be prayer. And as we think of prayer, there's to be adoration and praise. It's good for the family to talk together. What can we thank God for today? Well, we've got so much to thank God for. But it's good to ask the question, isn't it? Couples to reason together. What can we thank God for today? Just to focus on that. And then talk to the children. The children are there. What can we praise God for? To go around the children. Tell me something we can thank God for. Every family each day in this country should be praising the Lord. Giving thanks for daily mercies. As we think of prayer, think of the confession of sins. Every day we have things to confess. Did not the Lord teach us that in Matthew 6, verse 11 and 12? Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We need food every day. And the Lord makes it plain that we need to seek forgiveness every day. So in family worship, not only is there to be praise, but there is to be the confession of sins. And it's good as couples, isn't it, that we talk about things. How we failed one another. It's good to say sorry if we considered late last year in the subject of marriage. We confess our faults. And we confess our sins to the Lord. It's good as families to be honest, is it not? The children to be asked, what do we need to ask the Lord to forgive us today? And the father and the mother to lead by example as they seek to ask that question. It's to be the confession of sin each and every day in the family. But then thirdly, thanksgiving. Philippians 4 verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Thanksgiving. And what a blessing as a family, just to thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for all his goodness to us, his care over us. Fourthly, as we think of prayer here, supplication, petitions, asking God for things, showing to him that we need his mercy and pleading for such things. We need daily mercy. Let families be asking the Lord for mercy each and every day. Bringing their petitions to the Lord. When there's difficulties, let families be praying about these things. If there's financial difficulties, it's good for the children to hear the father praying for help, but also to take note of his faith and his trust he has in the Lord. And in other situations, the family may come to a difficult crossroads. It's good for the children to see the parents praying to the Lord and the family bringing the whole situation to the Lord. So first of all, then prayer. Secondly, praise. Oh, that we would hear more singing up and down our land. Singing is part of family worship. Now, it has been a neglected subject in some circles, but it's something that needs to be underlined. Turn with me to Psalm 118, verse 15. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doth valiantly. Now, we can think of the tabernacle, which Moses, in obedience to the Lord, had erected for worship. But in Psalm 118, verse 15, we're thinking of tabernacles, the tents, or the dwellings of the people. There was the tabernacle, but then there were tents around. And so we're thinking there of singing in the families, in the tabernacles, in the tents that were around amongst the children of Israel. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. There's rejoicing. There's singing. Couples are singing. Families are singing the praises of the Lord. Listen to Spurgeon. Let none of us be silent in our households. If we have salvation, let us have joy. And if we have joy, let us give it a tongue wherewith we may magnify the Lord. The voice of rejoicing. There's to be singing in family worship. We have scriptural warrant for it. Without any doubt, there should be the singing of psalms in the home. Now, it's one thing for me to say this, but let me underline this. Do you realize every family in this whole world should be singing psalms every day? Without doubt, there should be psalm singing in every family, in every home. What a wonderful way for the children to learn of God and to learn of Jesus by the singing of psalms. In Colossians 3 verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now in public worship, we're coming to worship the Lord. We come to give him the glory, but we note there A blessing in singing the praises of the Lord is this, that there is teaching for us. And when we're singing in the public place, and we're singing to the Lord, others can take note of what we're singing, and they can be instructed. Now come to the family place, the home. There's teaching and admonishing as we sing the psalms. And the children can be taught as the psalms are sung. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spirit songs, spiritual, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. There's to be singing. Let the young generation hear the praises of the Lord. Psalm 89 verse 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. You see, the older making known to the younger the faithfulness of the Lord in song. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. What a way to speak of the Lord as we sing the psalms in family worship. You may not be able to promise that you'll be able to sing well like one in a choir. But make it your promise, like with the psalmist, to sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. And dear brethren, what a blessing. Where there is a recovery of psalm singing in the home, what a blessing that could be to the future generation. That they hear again and again, and in the next generation, of the faithfulness of God. And they're hearing it often because it's being sung each and every day. Thirdly, the reading of the word of God. The reading of the word of God. There's to be an open book. We're so blessed to have a Bible, aren't we? I was just looking across towards my table earlier in the lounge, and I counted 3 Bibles there. And there's many more Bibles in the home. We're so blessed, aren't we? Blessed is the home where there is a Bible, which is opened and read. How many families in this locality, how many families in this country do not have a Bible? Let's pray the Lord would so bless again, and many would have the Word of God. In each home, the Bible should be opened and read. And what a blessing it is where this takes place. Blessed is the family who meet daily around the Word of God. Now in Psalm 1, and verse 2, we see there the psalmist delighting in the law of the Lord. The godly man will delight himself in the word, and the godly man will read the word to his family. He reads it himself, but then he also reads it to his family. Deuteronomy 6 verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. These words, the words of God, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart, and are going then to be read. And as we shall see in a moment in closing, there's going to be instruction upon them. Psalm 78 verse 3, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel. There it is, it's established, there's the law, there's the word. And there's the faithful man making it known, the faithful parents making it known, that the generation to come might know them. There's to be the reading of the word of God in family worship. Families need food for their bodies each day. Families need food for their souls. And I tell you this tonight, and I say it with great compassion, there are so many starving families in this country. There's so many starving families in this country. And where are they going to? In light of Jeremiah chapter 10. Oh, that the Lord would save families. That they would know the rich provision of the word of God. Oh, that families would be found reading the Gospels, reading of Christ throughout the whole Scripture, day after day. The family needs food for the soul. There is a famine. Oh, that many would yet be blessed through the reading of the Word of God each day. The Word of God is to be read with care, is to be read thoughtfully. One is to think upon what they're doing. It's to be read in a way of faith, believing the Word of God. It's good for children, isn't it, to see the father or the mother reading. They so believe it. We're leading on, fourthly and finally, instruction. Turn again to Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. The word of God read, but then there's further instruction. Thou shalt teach them diligently. Ephesians 6 verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And as we think of that word nurture, the Greek has the meaning of nurture, the training of a child, the instructing and the disciplining of a child. There's to be instruction in family worship. It's good for the one leading to ask questions. Different questions according to one's ability. We wouldn't ask a young child to tell us some great theology, would we, in light of the verse we've been reading. We break it up. Think of a cake. Little slices for little people. There's to be questions. It's good to reason with the family. There's to be instruction. Well, we thought of family worship, necessary preparation, thoughtfulness. One is to have a care for those gathering. There's to be a godly concern. Remember again what was said of Abraham, Genesis 18, verse 19. For I know him that he will command his children. I know him. Abraham was a man who was known as having a godly concern. Now in closing, let this be underlined. There are blessings attached to family worship. And dear brethren, we've known blessings, haven't we? What a blessing to worship the Lord in the home. What a blessing to sing the praises of the Lord. One can be tired, but then family worship comes, and then the singing begins, and it can lift the soul and help the soul to so focus on the Lord, and we can be blessed in the singing of the praises of the Lord. There's blessings attached. Psalm 128 verse 1. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. And then listen to Proverbs 3 verse 33. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. He blesses the habitation of the just, where family worship is conducted. There's blessings. As you look at this nation, there is many a home unblessed, but there still are a good number of homes blessed. And dear brethren, what a blessing to be in such a home, which is covered by the mercy of the Lord. He blesseth the habitation of the just. Well, may the Lord bless our homes. May the Lord use family worship for the good of the family. And may the Lord show mercy in this day of judgment and save many a family. We need a recovery. Oh, may the Lord grant us a recovery in family worship in this nation. What a different nation it would be if thousands more sang the praises of the Lord each and every day and called upon the name of God. Amen.